friend who spent the last year in Eretz Yisrael, and you bring with you the Kedusha of Torah in Eretz Yisrael, Torah in Yerushalayim, and I hope we will all have the schus to be mushba from just being in your precincts, and you should continue to learn and grow, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, wherever life takes you next. Okay, I wanted to discuss a few perspectives on Yachatz, the part of the Seder towards the beginning when we break the middle matzah in two, and just understand what it signifies. So I came across a new pshat, which I maybe it's classic, but I was not familiar with it. I don't recall before this year that the purpose of the yachatz, breaking the matzah in half, is reminiscent of the pasuk "Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farach." Jewish people were worked with back-breaking labor. So we break little audio-visual. Hear the crack of the matzah is like breaking the back of the workers, the Jewish workers in Mitzrayim. Very interesting, but I think it's on a halachic level it's very important because as we discussed the other night, we need to somehow weave the different earlier parts of the Seder into one continuum so that there's no question of Kiddush b'makom Suda, a hefsek, interrupting where the Kiddush takes place and when the Hamotzi actually occurs. So if we understand that some of these intermediary steps are actually the demonstration of Sipur Tzitz Mitzrayim, we're sort of telling the story through our actions, so then it has that significance for us to understand better where it's placed in their in the unique stations earlier on in the Seder. So it would have that that purpose of already beginning the mitzvah of Sipur Tzitz Mitzrayim by describing the labor in Egypt. That's one perspective. But of course, that doesn't account for the fact that after we break the matzah, then we put half of it away. So what's that all about? So the first pshat, Rav Schachter published a number of years ago. Very simple, but very, very poignant. The Gemara tells us in the end of Brachos, Kishem, just like there's a mitzvah to make a bracha when you hear good news, there's also a mitzvah to make a bracha when you hear not such good news. And that's why we make the bracha Tova Meitiv, when there's good tidings, and Dayan Emes, unfortunately, when Nebuch we have unfortunate news, not such good news. The Gemara says, why does the Mishnah associate these two as if they're two sides of an equation, which really isn't accurate because they're two different brachas, right? How do you say, just like we make a bracha here, we make a bracha there also, but we don't use the same text? The Gemara ultimately explains that even though the text of the bracha is Dayan Emes, when you have bad news, essentially the mindset, the attitude that a person is supposed to take is equivalent. You know that the good news comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're appreciative of it. The bad news, even though it's not exciting and it may be painful, but it also has to be approached with the same degree of satisfaction that I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding me, and even the things that seem unfavorable ultimately have a positive purpose and result. Shulchan Aruch actually brings this down. Chayav adam levarach al ra'a b'das shleima u'benefesh chafetza. You have to make a bracha on the ra'a with the same intent and the same sense of I guess we'll say contentment. Nefesh chafetza keder shem levarach b'simcha al tov. Just like you rejoice and you make a bracha for the good news. Ultimately, for an Oved Hashem, the Shulchan Aruch continues, Yarol Oved Hashem, he simchasim v'tovasim. There is a way to see a silver lining even in the bad news. And, of course, we don't always see the good news now. Sometimes we only appreciate it later. But the idea behind putting half of the matzah away is like this. Matzah, we know, is unique because it has this dual representation. On the one hand, it's the lechem oni, it's the poor man's bread, but also later in the Seder, we refer to it as the miraculous symbol of how we, just like that, left Mitzrayim, didn't even have enough time to let the dough rise. Because Baruch Hu took us out exactly when the time arrived. So it's on the one hand, it's a poor man's bread. It's also the bread of Geula. Why do we have to put two symbols into one item? What's the point? So the answer is you got to take that one symbol, break it apart. When things are good, easy to recognize. But sometimes when things are not so good, the other half of that symbol, the other side of the coin, you put it away, tzofon, hide it for that future time when it will become more clear what that goodness was. And even in the Galus of Mitzrayim, ultimately there was a purpose that brought Jewish people to another level that allowed them to be prepared for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's selection of the Jews as a chosen nation. Along those lines, we have other ways in which breaking the matzah in half represents now and later. Some say that it represents the Geula from Mitzrayim, but also reminds us that everything we know from Mitzrayim is promised to us in the future as well. The Bris Ben of Asarim wasn't only about going to Mitzrayim and coming out of Mitzrayim, it was really portending all of the future Golios. There's hints to it in the Pesukim themselves, Rashi points it out. There are hints to future Golios as well, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Baruch Shomer Havtachos L'Yisrael, Hashem will get us out of those as well. And we have to keep that in mind. I think a fascinating representation of this, I believe the Smag says that he asked the following question. He says, we know that one of the first questions they're going to ask you when it comes to Shemayim is, Tzipisa Yeshua. Did you anticipate the Geula? So he says, where do we find that in the Torah? Where does it say in the Torah, thou shalt look forward to Mashiach? We really have almost no direct reference to Mashiach or anything in the future altogether, right? The Gemara struggles with that. Tchias HaMesim in the Torah Minayim, the Gemara asks at the end of Sanhedrin. So where do you come off with a source that tells me this is going to be, you know, on the top of the list when I get to Shemayim? So he says, the mitzvah of Zechir Tzitzis Mitzrayim is the basis, that's the foundation for anticipation of all future redemptions. And by putting it away, by hiding it for the future, we know it's going to come whenever it comes, but it's going to come. Finally, getting back to a topic Rabbi Hertz, I think, mentioned a week or two ago in the Shir on Shabbos afternoon, Rav Schwab was very strong against the referring to the practice of putting away the matzah and the kids taking it and giving it as stealing the afikoman. He said, Jews don't steal things. Right? As an aside, I think it's so important to appreciate the Musar principle that we have to be cognizant of the fact that we are very, very sensitive. Our neshamas are very sensitive. And even talking about things in a certain way, even thinking about things in a certain way, even if we don't mean it literally, we're not really stealing the afikoman. It's not going to, you know, not going to go rob a bank next week, but maybe next year. You know, the idea is that if you internalize that attitude, it's not going to strengthen your character, and it may, God forbid, have the opposite effect. The Shrav was against that term of stealing the afikoman. He rather, you know, would use the term hiding the afikoman. But ultimately, what is this about? So he said in the name of his father that, again, we're trying to keep the thematic similarities from before, putting the half of the matzah away also is reminiscent of Olam Haba, and you only get Olam Haba if you earn it. We have to eat the afikoman on a full stomach. When I put in the effort, when I'm now at the point where I'm full, so then I can expect the Olam Haba to come. And likewise, making the trade with the kids who are expecting a reward, okay, a reward comes only after you earn it. And that's the message that, interestingly, we'll close with this, but who's the one who's getting the message? Who's the one who's getting the message? I think, it sounds like to me, if I'm understanding Yeshua properly, the father, or you know, the head of the household, the one who's leading the Seder, he's the one who's forced to internalize that. You want the Avikom, you got to pay for it. You want that future redemption, you want that future Olam Haba, you got to pay for it. Maybe there's a lesson for the kid also, but definitely a lesson for the father. And I think of all the messages that I hope we can come away with for this Seder is that as much as we know, Pesach and the Seder is geared for the kids, so the kids will ask, so the kids don't fall asleep. But that, on one level, is really a front to make sure that we take what we're supposed to take out of the Seder. It's not just the kids' game. There's an element to keep the kids involved 100%. But at the same time, we're the adults, the sophisticated, more mature intellectually, we're supposed to come away with even more powerful and long-lasting impressions. You're not so sure. But after all, the Pasuk says, Rav Sinneman made this very, very simple deal. Listen to this. And with this, we'll close. Pasuk says in Shmos, it says, Leman tesaper b'oznei vincha uben vincha, it's a share, it's halal to be Mitzrayim, the adatem, so you're going to do all these things. You're going to tell your kids and your grandchildren all about it. So how would you have ended the pasuk? In order that they know, years, generations later, that Hashem said, no, it's via datem, you will know. You have to go through that whole process of educating the children. And you know who's the greatest beneficiary? The educator. So we're so busy giving. We also have to reflect and say, you know, there are powerful messages. It's been a long time since I said Manashtana when I was standing on the chair. But that doesn't mean that the Seder is any less geared for my own education. And at every stage in life, doesn't matter how old you are, there's a further, deeper inculcation of Emuna that even the head of the Seder, the one who's leading the Seder, needs to come away with. We should be zochah to accomplish that this year and all years in the future.